Zakhtu Mar Ravashi said the first part of the Braisa that we discussed yesterday, that if one brother did Chalitza and then married, after doing Chalitza, he went ahead and married this woman, and then he died without children, the other brothers have to do Chalitza, that could even be answered according to the Shita of Reish Lakish, and the case could be where we have to follow the Shita of Rav Shimon. The Braisa is referring to a brother who was born after the brother did Chalitza and after he married her. Therefore, when the brother's born, he's born into a matzav of Heter, and that's why he's the one who has to do Chalitza. When the Braisa then says that if one of the brothers who was born before Chalitza married the Yavama after the Chalitza was done, the marriage is ineffective, that clearly follows Reish Lakish, that after the Chalitza, the woman is also to the others with Karis, so therefore it would not be effective. Ravina said the first part of the Braisa means that Chalitza would be needed by any of the brothers. This follows Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the woman is only also to them with a lav after having the Chalitza, and that's why a Chalitza is needed. But the later part of the Braisa that said that if after what happened after their brother gives Chalitza, a different brother goes ahead and gives Kedusha, and it says that you don't even need a divorce because it's not Chal, that can be answered even according to Rabbi Yochanan, following the shoot of the Rabban who argued of Shimon. The later part of the Braisa talking about it, where a brother was born after the Chalitza went ahead and married this woman. Even so, according to the Rabbanon, that would be a case of which remains as Karis, and that's why the marriage is ineffective. The Mar says Itma was taught. Rav Achan and Rav argue in a case where a brother did Yibum and then got and then another brother went ahead and was boil one of the tsaris of the woman who got Chalitza. So one says he'd be Chayiv Karis, the other said he'd only be over an Asay. The one who says he gets Karis follows Rav Shlokish, the one who says over an Asay would follow Rav Yechanan. Zakhtig Mar, Rebbe Neimer Rav said that the tzara of a woman who was mezana while married to her husband is pata from Yibam. The reason is the pasuk refers to this woman who was mezana as with the word tuma, which is the same thing used for arayis, and that's why her tzara is pata as well. Rav Chista asks, Rav Shimon says in a Mishnah that a woman who got remarried based on witnesses' testimony that her husband had died when in fact really he was alive, in which case she's treated like a woman who was mezana, and then her first husband died without children. So he says if she got Yibam or Chalitza, then the other tzaras become pata. We see that the tzara of a woman who was mezana would be chayiv in Yibam. Chalitza. Rav would say, I made a statement regarding a woman who was truly Mizana deraisa, and you're asking me from a case where she's considered to have been Mizana, which is only derabbanon, because deraisa she's allowed to believe the witnesses. Rav Chista felt, still no, any rabbinic enactment is made to mimic the case of deraisa, ken deraisa, and therefore she should have been treated in the same way. Rav Ashi asked, the Mishnah says that a woman who is secluded with a man, but no witnesses or this nus, needs chalitza. So we see that this saita needs chalitza. Rav would say, I was talking about a woman who was vadai Mizana. You're asking me from a case where she was only Suffolk Mizana? The Gemara asks, we find in a braisa that discusses the prohibition to remarry one's divorcee if she went ahead and married a second man, and then that marriage ended, that you can't remarry that your original wife. So that the word tuma is even used to describe a woman who's secluded with another man without testimony of znus. So based on this, she should be treated like a woman who is known to have been mizana. Gemara says, no, the braisa actually refers to a woman who was mizana, not just secluded. And the braisa uses the word secluded because it's a nicer lashon to use. In fact, Gemara Pasuk already uses the word tuma to describe a woman who was definitely mizana. So why would we need another pasuk to say the same thing? The Mar says the Torah wants to make an usher with a lav for the first husband to have tashmish with the confirmed zayna. The Mar asks, Rabbi Yehuda asks of Sheshes, if a man remarried his divorcee after his wife had gone to marry another man in the interim, and then he died without children, he's back married with that first wife, but he wasn't allowed to marry her. Is her tzara subject to Yibam or not? According to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, who says that the word Tumah is written in reference to such a woman, it'd be clear that her tzara would be like her, and therefore she would not be subject to Yibam. However, according to Rabbanon, since they say that the word Tumah in that pasuk refers to a woman who was Mezana and not the case of the remarried divorcee, so maybe this tzara would be Chayiv in Yibam. Another version says that according to the Rabbanon, she would clearly be chayiv. The question is according to Yossi ben Kippur. In any case, so what's the answer? So Zemara Mishnah says if the brother died without children and left over two wives, one who's a qualified and one who's disqualified. So if the brother plans to do Chalitza, he should do it to the disqualified wife. If he plans to do Yibam, he should do it to the qualified wife. Now, what does that mean, disqualified? What type of disqualification are we talking about here? L'chaira, it's one in which she's only disqualified to the brothers, but not to other people in the world. And the case must be, therefore, that she remarried the dead brother after she divorced and married another man, and she went back and married that dead brother. But now she's subject to Yibam. So we see that the tzara, which is the qualified one referred to in the Braisa, would be subject even to Yibam, because it says if you want to do Yibam, do it to the qualified one. The Mar says no. Maybe the disqualification refers to a general disqualification to Kahanim, not just to the brother. So that's not the case that it's Mach Zagur Shasai. The Mishnah is teaching that one should not give Chalitza to a qualified woman, one who may marry a Kohen, because that would prevent her from marrying a Kohen. Rather, you're going to give chalitza anyway, give it to someone who's anyway disqualified from anyway possible for marrying a kohen. In fact, Mara Brisa says that this married divorcee and her tzara may do chalitza. Clearly, this can't mean and; it has to mean or. So we see that the tzara can do chalitza, but not yibum. Mara says once you change the words of the Brisa, change it to read that she herself may only get chalitza, but the tzara may even be taken in yibum. Zakhmar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, Rabbi Yochanan asked, if someone remarries his divorcee after she married someone else, and then he died without children, may this woman's co-wives, the tzaras, have yibum done to them? Rabbi Ami said, why are you only asking about the co-wife? Why are you not asking about the woman herself, whether she may be taken in yibum? Rabbi Yochanan said, I have no question that the divorcee herself is usher in yibum based on a kavu chomer. If she's usher to someone who she was originally mutter to, meaning the husband, surely she should be usher to someone who she was usher to a whole time, meaning the husband's brother. It's regarding the tzara that I'm unsure whether this kavu chomer will prevent her from doing yibum or not. Nachum Yitzchak had a version of the above conversation and said that Rabbi Yochanan was certain that the kavu chomer would not usher the tzara. His only question was whether the kavu chomer would usher the divorcee herself from doing yibum. Rami answered, a Mishnah says, if the brother died without children, left over two wives, one was qualified, one was disqualified, the bride we just brought down before, so if the brother plans to do chalitza, he should do it to the disqualified, plans to do yibum, do it to the qualified wife, presumably the disqualification referred to is where she's only disqualified from the brothers, not other men in the world. And the case must therefore be that she remarried the dead brother after she was divorced and married to another man, and we see that the tzara, the qualified one, is subject to yibum. Mar says, no, maybe that the disqualification refers to a general disqualification to Kahanam. The Mishnah is teaching that you shouldn't give chalitza to a qualified woman, someone who's lying marry a kohen, because it's going to make her also to a kohen. Rather, if you can give chalitza, give it to one who's also to a kohen anyway. A Brisa says that this the same question we asked before, that this Brisa says this remarried divorcee and her tzara may do chalitza. Clearly, this can't mean and, it has to mean or. We see that the tzara can do chalitza but not yibum. Mar says once you change it to Brisa, words of the Brisa change it to read that if she herself may only get chalitza, but her tzara may be even taken in yibum.